So Whatever your storm looks like, whatever your rain looks like, it's different for everybody. Not too big for God. Not too messy for God. Amen? Might not make sense in your eyes, but God sees so clearly and will not let you go, no matter what it is. Whatever's on your mind right now, it did not surprise God. It didn't surprise God. And I'm here to tell you that you will make it through. You will make it through. Amen? And it's not because of your strength or your intelligence or whatever. You will make it through because there's a God who sees you and knows you, and He will not let you go. He will not let you fail. He will not fail you. Amen? Oh, the rain. So the rain came, the winds blew, but my house was built on you. He's all that we need, more than enough. Thank you, Father.
I'll never be more loved than I am right now. Wasn't holding you up, so there's nothing I can do to let you down. It doesn't take a trophy to make you proud. I'll never be more loved than I am right now.
Going through a storm, but I won't go down. I hear your voice, Kevin, in the rhythm of the wind to call me out.
You would cross an ocean so I wouldn't drown.
Jireh,
see so clear what it's all about. So stay by my side when the sun goes down. Don't wanna forget how I feel right now.
Jireh,
you are enough. Jireh, you are enough.
Jireh, you are enough.
We worship you, Jesus. You know, one of the differences between a concert and worship is heart. It's your posture. Yeah, it's good music. Yes, it's a good melody. Yes, it's a good song. But where's your heart right now in this moment? The difference between just a song and just a good band is our posture and is our attitude and our thoughts. And so one of the things that we like to do as CF Paris is we like to make sure that our posture and that our heart is pointed and open and in a direction of making God big in our lives. He is able. He is more than enough. We worship him out of this posture of, God, I trust you. I don't know how this is going to work out. I'm doing all that I know how to do. I'm doing my part. But then there's that step of faith. And in this worship time and in this music, God, I want my heart to be pointed towards you. Not about me and all of my needs. I know that you see them. The song says it. He dresses the lilies in all their splendor. How much more will God dress you? How much more will he take care of you? We can trust him. And worship helps us turn our heart towards him to be able to tell our minds and our bodies, trust him. Trust him. And so our posture in worship and our posture in the song, that's why we raise our hands. That's why we clap. That's why we close our eyes. That's why we try to sing along. Because it's not a concert, y'all. It's worship. It's worship this morning. And so we're going to continue to worship as part of that posture of worship. We give out of the money that he's given to us, we give back to him. And if you're a guest with us this morning, there's no pressure here. This is a free will offering that you give to God, whatever he lays on your heart. And so if you've not been to a church before, a lot of times churches will receive money in this way as part of their offering, as part of their worship. And you can give or you can not give. There's no pressure. God loves a cheerful giver. But we're going to keep singing and keep worshiping, and y'all are welcome to give or not give. But let's just turn our heart towards him, our posture towards him. This is not a concert. This is worship. And so let's lift our hands and our hearts and our attitudes. Close your eyes if you've never closed your eyes in worship before. Lift your hands if you've never lifted your hands in worship before. It's like a funnel. It's a two-way thing. It's God, I'm making you big, but God, I'm also, I'm ready to receive from you your blessing and your presence in my life. Amen? Let's continue in worship this morning.
Father, open our eyes, open our hearts, open our minds to the bigness of you, God. You are an unstoppable force. You created a church that you said the gates of hell would never stand against, God. And it is not because of us. It is because of our great God. There is no power like you, God. There's no power like the name of your Son. And we worship you together today. We acknowledge, we celebrate and revel in how big and amazing and powerful and gracious and loving and good and forever you are. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. How awesome. How awesome. Good morning. You may be seated. Catch a breath. That was good. It is good to see all of you this morning. Welcome again to worship with us. We are very glad to have you here today. If you are a guest among us, gosh, we're glad that you're here. Welcome to you. We would love to just be able to connect with you sometime today. Not only do we have a table in the lobby where we would love to just have you connect at our new here table, receive a gift on the way out, and just let us know that you are here. But really, everybody who's part of this church family should love to connect with you. And so if you see anyone in church, you should stop and tell them that you're new. And if they don't get really pumped about that, then you should come tell me. All right? Because we are excited that you are here today. I have a couple of announcements that I'm excited about and I need to make before we get to our special guest star on the video today. I need to tell you about two things. One we're going to talk about on the video is our men's breakfast and work day that's next Saturday coming up. Very excited about the men of our church getting together to eat, always, but to work and celebrate and serve in the community together. It is going to be a really good day. We need some more guys than the ones we have signed up now, who are all fantastic. We have projects laid out. They are ready to go, and we could use more hands in that. I do want to let you know, fellas, and be very clear that we have work projects laid out. We're going to do work. We're going to be rugged and manly on Saturday, okay? It is not specifically an event that is designed for kids, all right? We got work to get done, and so we want to let you know that that's how this event is designed. But, men, we also want to let you know that the next event that's coming up a few months from now is specifically designed for you to bring your kids and enjoy that day. We're going to have some fun and fishing and do some things together. So we have events coming up for fathers and kids, but we just want to let you know that we've got some work planned for Saturday, okay? So you need to come ready to work. Sign up if you can. If you don't get signed up and you can come, come eat with us, work with us, serve with us. And we want to do that together. It's a great chance, if you're new, especially just to get connected and serve in the community. You'll hear a little bit more about that one today. The other one I want to tell you about is a brand new thing. We've been talking about it for a while, and it starts next Sunday after church, all right? And it's called Compass, okay? Compass is the new experience that we are introducing that is going to take the place of and enhance what we were doing with our Start Here class. It's designed especially for those of you who are new to the church or would like to know more about us, about what we believe, how we envision church, and we do life as a church community together, what we believe about the kingdom and what God is doing and how we live in that as followers of Jesus, inspiring people to believe and live like the gospel changes everything, okay? So we start that next week. Compass is going to take place on the fourth Sunday of the month. It's going to be after church. We're going to take some extra time. We're going to have lunch. We're going to engage together more than we were doing and able to do before service. And so if that's something that you are new and you would like to plug into, you can sign up for that online. You don't have to be new to sign into Compass. If you would just like to get plugged in more, if you'd like to hear more, know more about our vision as a church community, our vision for the kingdom, how we are in our community, and how the gospel is changing us, come on and be a part of it. We're going to do that monthly. It's going to come around every month, so we have that chance to engage with you, and we invite you and welcome you to come and be a part of this new experience with us. Thank you very much for that. Welcome to you again. Now we'll go to the video and then enjoy our time in the Word together. God bless you guys.
What's up, Santa Palace?
Welcome to the church.
I'm so glad you're here today. I got three announcements for you.
What's up, see, I'm living.
Yeah, I'm living.
This birthday, right here at the church.
You can sign up online or check out the table in the lobby.
Oh, why, see, I'm in.
Yeah, I'm living.
This Saturday,
right here at the church.
It's going to be a breakfast
and some four-block chicks to work on.
Dr. White says, buy more men.
So get signed up in the lobby today.
All right, guys, last announcement.
Graduation Sunday
is next Sunday.
So you're graduating?
Go get signed up online.
That's all my announcements.
That's a cool week.
That, I believe, is the best video we've ever played. The only one that may be able to compete is currently in archives. We haven't shown it. Pastor Greg, Pastor G is, yeah, he's coming in hot in that one. I don't know. We might have to pull that one out one time just for everybody. Oh yes, man! Opportunities to serve. That's what this building is about. That's what this place is about. Opportunities to serve. Guys, there's so much going on, so many different ways that you can connect and be connected. And in being connected, man, I tell you what, it's where you start to see love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, goodness, all of them start to well up within your life. It's connection. It's relationship. Another great opportunity you have coming up here soon is VBX. VBX is coming up, guys. Listen, you guys continually show up and show out, and I can't be more honored. And we need people to show up and show out for our VBX. This is your opportunity, as we prayed last week, to be used to heal and see God do wonders in young people's lives. The beauty of that, and here's what you can hold on to. You may never see the result of that outpouring, but scripturally, we can stand on the word which says the word of God will not return void. So plant the seed. Your job isn't to cultivate. Your job isn't to prune. Your job is to plant the seed. Plant the seed. Great opportunities to do just that and get involved. Now, I tell you what, guys, let's honor the reading of God's word. Let's stand up and read a passage today from Acts chapter 5. I'm going to begin in verse 40. It's going to be up here on the screen behind me, but man, this is good today. This is good today. Thank you, Lord God. In Acts 5 and verse 40, the word says, the religious leaders called the apostles in and had them flogged. Then they ordered them not to speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. The apostles left the Sanhedrin rejoicing because they had been counted worthy of suffering disgrace for the name. Day after day in the temple courts and from house to house, they never stopped teaching and proclaiming the good news that Jesus is the Messiah. Lord God, I continue to pray for a boldness within us, your church, that we would walk daily, Father, through your Holy Spirit, in the excitement and the power of the revealed knowledge of the resurrection of Jesus in our everyday lives. It's in your name that we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated, and as you are, turn to your neighbor and say, there will be no flogging today. yes, next week, guys, I'm excited. We're going to be able to honor our graduates. If you're graduating, please go online, sign up. I've talked with Pastor Brandon. He's got he's disappeared. I looked right at you. He's not new. Hey, there you are. Good to see you. Pastor Brandon has a special graduate this year as well, and so I've asked him to share a quick word with the graduates, and we're going to have a great time honoring them. Listen, we've prepared a gift basket that we love to give to all of our graduates. Whatever you're graduating, we'd love to honor you and pray over you as you step out into this new venture, whether it's high school, college, or whatever it be. Listen, the package we give, though, is kind of geared a little bit more for those graduating from high school, but I will say I would still love to get the package. So we would love the opportunity to be able to honor you next week. And then as I continue this revealed series, we're gonna continue this through May the 16th. And I told you guys last week, on May the 16th specifically, we're going to do our Heart for His House. It's a yearly offering outside of our tithes that we take up. It's completely up to you guys, what you pray between you and the Lord, how you want to give, but it goes directly to what we do here as a community center. I want to real quickly show this scripture, this passage. This is Acts 34:10, and we truly believe that this was the scripture that God gave us for this facility. 34:10 North Main, Exodus 34:10, the Lord telling us, I am making a covenant with you before all of your people. I will do wonders never before done in any nation in all the world. The people that you live among, that's your neighbors, that's your coworkers, that's the people you like, that's the people you don't like. The people you live among will see how awesome is the work that I, the Lord, will do for you. That's the vision of this. This right here is ours to utilize for his kingdom. And that opportunity, look, it's great to have a beautiful house. It is. Thank you, God, for that. But the church is you and me. We don't go to church. We are the church. And of all the Christians the world over, you and I probably have the least to fear regarding our faith in Christ. I'm going to slightly preface just because Pastor Brandon and Pastor G both did a wonderful job of welcoming our guests. If you're a guest here today, I'm going to tell you to relax. The people that are normally here are going to maybe think that I'm stepping on their toes today. It's all in how you construe it. If you're here today as a guest, like, kick your feet out, relax, don't worry about it. It's like you're good. Although I pray you take it to heart as well. Typically, you and I are scared. The least amount to have to fear, and yet we do. We worry about sharing our faith. As Christians, our threshold for pain, our tolerance towards just general discomfort is typically very low. And look, I'm not bagging it. Thank you, God, that we live in a country like we do. Thank you, God, that we live in a culture where all of that is true. We don't have to worry about being flogged for talking about Jesus. Right? Like that should give you an amen shout. You can mention Jesus and you're not going to get flogged. Woo-hoo-hoo! But we can't lose our boldness either. Just because it's easy doesn't then allow us to be lazy. Today, the challenge for us as Christians is to not think of church as a location or even the pastor as the guy that does the church stuff. You and I, each of us, need to think of the church the way the church first began. It was a movement of the people. We read in Acts in the first chapter, second chapter, and then we started again in 3 and 4 last week, but there was about 120 believers that flooded the streets of Jerusalem with their excitement. They flooded the streets of Jerusalem. They had this unique message that was based solely on the resurrection of Christ. It wasn't based on the teachings or even the activities of Jesus. Hear that. It wasn't based solely on the teachings or even the activities of Jesus. It was based off one single event, the resurrection. And these people, they flooded the streets of Jerusalem to each share their witness to that testimony. Jesus, who was crucified, rose from the dead, and the power and strength now lives in me. That was their testimony. Sadly, that same power, the power that raised Christ from the dead, the same power that gave the first believers their boldness and zeal, has been reduced to a message that we show up for once a year in our brightest colors, all the while with the mentality of this trudging along, let me show up to find out what it is I have to keep doing. Is that the resurrection to you? There was a time when the people as the church were all about one simple thing. That God, through Jesus, had defeated death and then gave that power, that assurance to everyone. There was no longer any hindrance that kept you from recognizing and realizing that you had life. And they stepped out with boldness. There was energy. There was excitement in the local church. The last thing they worried about was themselves, because they were so much more concerned with the people around them. They had witnessed something life-transforming, and because of that, couldn't help but want others to know the same. I've told you guys before, love is not just an action, but rather, so much more so, it's an action perceived. Love is an action perceived, and there was a time when, as Christians, our actions were perceived with such love that people outside the church, even those that didn't want to be a Christian, looked at us in awe because of the way we treated one another. More so, they looked at us in awe because of the way we treated outsiders. Because of our response to persecution. They looked at us in awe. Even our response to being left out and ostracized left them in awe. The world looked on and perceived such love that they extended favor to Christians. Throughout the community, they extended favor because they perceived such love. There was something just unusually wonderful about them. Have we lost that? Part of the reason I believe that we've lost some of that is because we're blessed. We are blessed, and hear me, you should not ever feel guilty for blessings. You should never feel guilty for your blessings, but you should always feel responsible. We're blessed, and that's a great thing. But there comes some responsibility. Last week, I asked you guys to join me in praying this prayer. Lord, enable me to speak your word with great boldness. Lord, stretch out your hand and use me to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of Jesus. Use me, God. Man, that's a powerful prayer. It's a powerful prayer, and it's one that I continue to pray you will continue to make a part of your daily prayer life. I do. I pray that this is your, like the candle underneath you that ignites you. But what I'm afraid can happen is illustrated in Scripture as a dire warning delivered by the prophet Isaiah from God to his people. Again, God speaking to his people. I pick up in Isaiah chapter 1, verse 13, it says this. Quit your worship charades. I can't stand your trivial religious games. Your monthly conferences, weekly Sabbaths, special meetings, 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 meetings. I can't stand one more. Meetings for this, meetings for that. I hate them. You've worn me out. I'm sick of your religion, religion, religion. Listen here. This is the reason why. While you go right on sinning. The power of the Lord use me prayer is negated the very moment our witness is ruined by our lifestyle. Picking up in verse 15, continuing on, God speaking, he says, when you put on your next prayer performance, I'll be looking the other way. God, use me means nothing if we're not willing to be used. No matter how long or loud or often you pray, I'll not be listening. And do you know why? Look, here it is. Because you have been tearing people to pieces. Your hands are bloody. Go home, wash up, clean up your act, sweep your lives clean of your evil doings so I don't have to look at them any longer. Say no to wrong, learn to do good, work for justice, help the down and out, stand up for the homeless, go to bat for the defenseless. It's a tough scripture to read. And yet, I pray you hear what it is. It's not an opportunity to step on your toes, but rather to encourage and to ignite a fire within. A revelation, the revealed knowledge of the resurrection and what that means to us today. So today, I want to look at the boldness of the first church in Acts because, well, Isaiah is just kind of depressing and Acts is a lot more uplifting. Honestly, I want us to ramp up our boldness. We're afraid with nothing to be afraid of. So jumping back to Acts in Jerusalem at the time, the peace was kept by the governing authority, Rome, who then allowed the Jews to have a religious governing body. The Jewish Sanhedrin, the Jewish religious leaders, they would control the people through the religion. But it was a control that was allowed them by the governing authority, Rome. Rome could at any point in time come in. And so there was this delicate balance of power that the Jewish leaders tried to hold. They wanted to maintain the people, they want them to look up to them. They wanted that control and that power, but they still had to acknowledge and give Rome credit. But suddenly the peace was now being disrupted. There was all this talk of Jesus, but more so, there was this talk of resurrection. And understand, to both the Jews and the Romans, this was a stain. The Romans were a mighty force. You can't have people going around saying, they try and kill you, but you just walk out a couple days later. They can't have that. The Jewish rulers, they can't have it either. They didn't believe in resurrection. It wasn't possible. So all of a sudden, the peace is being disrupted. And last week, we looked at Peter and John. Peter and John are arrested. They're arrested. They spend the night in jail. And then the next day, they go on trial. They're confronted by the Jewish authorities. The Jewish authorities tell them, quit talking about Jesus and quit talking about the resurrection. When released, Peter and John then met up with all the other believers. They meet up with all the other believers, and instead of coming into this, hey, wow, thank you, God, we just got released from prison, so, hey, everybody, we're going to need to tone it down a little bit. Instead, they prayed this, Lord, consider their threats. Consider the fact that our lives are now on the line and give us boldness to continue to speak your truth, your word. Consider their threats and enable us to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand and use us to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of Jesus. And then with that, they went right back out into the streets to share their testimony, knowing they were going to get in trouble. They just couldn't shut up. They share the message of the resurrection. And more people, because of love perceived, more people come to a revealed knowledge of who Jesus is and believe in the resurrection. They believe the message. Word gets out, something's going on. And then outside of Jerusalem, the surrounding communities started to hear about what's going on. And now the surrounding communities are bringing in their sick, they're lame, they're blind, they're bringing in people to be healed because they've heard, man, there's people there who believe in the Jesus resurrected, and because of that say that there's power in that name and that you can be healed of whatever sickness, whatever disease, whatever's going on. So now, and there was already an abundance of people in Jerusalem because this is a feast period. But now surrounding communities are starting to flock in, starting to come in. So Jerusalem, drawing even more people. Luke tells us that the religious leaders were jealous. They had to balance the power of the people in the Roman government, but they became jealous. And it was in their jealousy that they then couldn't see the life that was being offered. Having already arrested Peter and John, letting those two go with instructions to quiet down, but then Peter and John introduce more, and they all go out and start sharing their witness. Picking up there, the religious rulers now send the guards to arrest all of them. All the apostles, round them all up. We tried to tell just two of them. We arrested them. We let them go. Now we're arresting them all. Scripture says they arrested the whole group. But then says that during the night, someone, something, somehow, all of a sudden, the gate doors were opened and every single one of the disciples just walked out. Free to go. But not so much in a just like, bam, blow the doors off. Like something, someone opened the doors. And then after they got out, we read later that the guards go to check on them. And the gate is shut and locked. There's just nobody inside. And so immediately, what does the guards do? The religious leaders, next day, they're like, all right, go get all those apostles. The apostles? Man, I don't think we can edit that out alive either. We're going to go with it. That's a new word. It's a disciple apostle. Apostle. After having gathered all of them, they say, okay, go back to the jail. They're all in there. Get them out. The guard goes and says, oh, God, they're gone. Again, us. You get out of jail. What are the guards thinking? They're hiding. They're gone. Lost them. We're going to have to search for them. We're going to have to look for them. They go back, they tell the religious leaders. The religious leaders are like, no! And then, like, instantly, like, wait, what's going on in the temple? In the temple! In the same place that they got arrested, they're now back in the temple, all of them sharing the good news. Slightly infuriates the religious leaders. They're slightly miffed. They go to rearrest them. Having arrested and then arrested all, now they're rearresting all. And the guards almost won't do it. They realize the love and the people's fondness of love perceived. And they recognize that if we arrest these guys right here, we're going to be stoned. And so it doesn't tell us, but somehow the guards kind of go up to the disciples and are like, can you go with us, please? And listen here. The people are on your side. The guards are cowering towards you. What do you do? The disciples pause what they're doing and as a group accompany the guards back to the Sanhedrin, placing themselves under arrest in order to be able to give an account for what they're doing but have been told not to do. That's where we pick up. Acts chapter 5 and verse 27. It says this, the apostles were brought in and made to appear before the Sanhedrin to be questioned by the high priest. We gave you strict orders not to teach in this name, he said. Yet you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching and are determined to make us guilty of this man's blood. Pause. Like every one of the disciples, like that had to infuriate them. I mean, just had to make them mad, right? As Christians, you're looking at this whole thing going, listen, it's your wishy-washy attitude that caused this. You arrested him. You turned him over to Rome to be crucified. You even participated in the whole, hey, give us Barabbas thing. Like, you did it. Yeah, we think that, and we kind of say that because it's true. Peter and the other disciples, the other apostles replied, all of them, right? Look. Peter and the other apostles. So all again, this is a movement of the people. They replied, we must obey God rather than human beings. The God of our ancestors raised Jesus from the dead, whom you killed by hanging him on a cross. God exalted him to his own right hand as prince and savior that he might bring Israel to repentance and forgive their sins. Now, real quickly, because there's something so beautiful here. We like to be right. Love is an action perceived. They could have stopped very well with the God of our ancestors raised Jesus from the dead, whom you killed by hanging him on a cross. But that wasn't the point, because it didn't end there, because it wasn't about pointing a finger, but rather it was about igniting and lifting up. They say, so that God exalted him to his own right hand as prince and savior, so that he might bring all of us, that's Israel, that's you, that's me, that's this whole lot, all of us, to repentance and forgive our sins. And then listen here, they continue on and they say, look, we don't just believe it. We didn't just hear about it. We are witnesses of these things. Remember, some of these disciples, some of these apostles had seen the resurrected Jesus. They were witnesses and could testify to the whole thing. We were there when you crucified him. We were there when he came out. But the better part of that, for me, for you, is this next bit, this next line. Because there were some there that didn't see Jesus risen. But what does it say? We are witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him. Listen, because this is huge. Even those who didn't see Jesus after the resurrection, by believing in him, they received the Holy Spirit, who did witness it all. And now, having that inside, can now boldly share their witness to the same. That's you and me. That and is the life of a Christian. That right there is the power and the boldness that we have. Or we reduce to something we got to check a box on Sunday morning. Done. When they heard this, they were furious. The religious leaders wanted to put them to death. The scripture continues on. There's one of their leaders. His name was Gamaliel, I believe. And he started giving a history lesson. He's like, hold up, guys. Look, let me kick the apostles out real quick. Let's just talk amongst ourselves. We want to maintain the power. Do you remember this guy? Do you remember this uprising? Do you remember when this happened? And in every one of the situations, what he's basically saying is, we were able to manage and maintain the peace. Because if we had joined sides with Rome against this, we would have lost the people. But if we would have joined with them and the people, we would have lost the governing authority, Rome. So we walked that line perfectly by not doing anything, by hiding in the shadows, by staying back. We have stayed politically correct. Gamaliel. There it is. I wrote it down. He concludes by saying in verse 38, therefore, in this present case, this Jesus movement, this whole resurrection thing, I advise you, leave these men alone. Let them go. For if their purpose or activity is of human origin, it will fail. But if this talk about Jesus, this resurrection thing is from God, you will not be able to stop these men. You will only find yourselves fighting against God. Now look, there's so much truth in that statement. And yet when he said it, I don't think he said it in the manner that we think about it. He wanted to ride the fence. He's saying, look, the only thing that can overcome the power, the control of Rome, whom we submit to, is an act of God. I don't believe this is an act of God, but let it proceed, because if it isn't, Rome's going to destroy them. They're going to wipe this thing out, and we're still good with the people. But if it is, yeah, it'll destroy Rome, because that's the only thing that could tackle Rome. The group liked his reasoning. We pick up in verse 40, it says, his speech persuaded them. They called the apostles in and had them flogged. Then they ordered them not to speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. Now, I got to pause for a second, because, look, maybe this is just me, but I hear the word flogged, and immediately it just, it doesn't sound bad. Like, did you get flogged today? I'm so sorry about the flogging. It just sounds like a weak word. I mean, I don't want to be flogged, especially knowing what it is, but even if it was a weak word, I still don't want it. No, I shan't be flogged today. Yes, they were whipped, but no, they were beaten within inches of their life. Flogged was a whip designed with 9 strands, attached on the end shards, intended to be beaten over a person until the skin tissue and the muscle was pulled from the back, from the arms, from the chest, from it, skin and muscle just ripped from body. It was 39 very specific lashes intended to cripple, mutilate, and make a point. 39 specific lashes designed, studied to render you just above useless. So understand, this was ours. All the apostles, as they stood in line, watching their friends get permanently scarred while waiting on their turn. All simply for talking about what they had seen. Understand this flogging from now on, every day when they woke up, when they changed clothes, when anybody saw any part of their body, there was going to be an immediate notice, a thought that person is a criminal. They would carry that mark the rest of their life. How would you respond? Because we tend to worry whether or not a friend is going to like us. Listen to their response. Verse 41, the apostles left the Sanhedrin rejoicing. For the rest of their life, they're permanently disfigured. People will see the scars. They left rejoicing because they had been counted worthy of suffering disgrace for the name. While you and I are so afraid that something negative is going to happen to us just because we're Christians, our first century forefathers, they said, are you kidding? Are you joking? Really? Like, to have suffered, to have lost something, to have given up something, to be disfigured for the name of Jesus? Look, it's something that I'm most proud of. He gave his life for me, and I gave some skin for him. He gave his life for me, I'm worried I'm going to give up my reputation. They're bold. They're saying, I'm not ashamed. It's these marks, they're my most prized possession. That was their thought process. That's what the resurrection meant to them. That is what the revealed knowledge of Christ coming out of that grave, being resurrected, and the Holy Spirit being now given to you, that same power, that same authority, given to walk inside of us daily. We live in the safest country, safest neighborhoods, and we're afraid somebody's not going to like us. What happened? Again, I'll tell you, we're blessed. We are blessed, but instead of being grateful and being good stewards of the blessing, we've allowed it to strip us of our boldness. Or worse, we pawn off berating and demeaning others as our boldness. Day after day in the temple courts, look, they went back. after being flogged, they went back. And from house to house, they had to let their neighbors know. And all of this after a flogging. They never stopped teaching, proclaiming the good news that Jesus is the Messiah. What happened to us? Where did that go? You and I are the church. We're the church for this generation. And it's up to us what shape we leave it in for the next generation. We've got to get bolder. Remembering love is an action perceived. We must be bolder. We have to choose to say something, even when it's easier to say nothing. Look, and you know that's true. You've been in that situation. Boldness is saying something when it's much easier to say nothing. It's taking advantage of the opportunities that God presents. Every day there's opportunities that God presents. Are you just praying a prayer, or are you taking action for those things? And then better, boldness is also asking God to create opportunities. If you're praying for boldness, there's going to be opportunities. But are you just praying for boldness? Is it another prayer demonstration? Or have you found the joy of the revealed knowledge of Christ? I pray you would rise up. Again, guys, I thank God that we live in a culture where we aren't flogged. We're not going to do one of those, okay, would you if you had to? Huh. We live in a great nation. We're not going to be flogged for believing in Christ. But in the meantime, you and I cannot lose our boldness. Blessings don't justify complacency. It has to change. And it's simple. It's just taking advantage of the opportunity that God presents to share your witness while also praying to God with boldness that He would give you even more opportunities to share your witness. Corey, I don't know if I have a witness. Jesus said, I go. Like he's resurrected. He's come back. He's standing before all the disciples, all the apostles. He says, I go so that one even greater can come. So that the Spirit of God can come into your life. So that you don't have to go to a temple, to a building to worship, but rather that God Himself would dwell inside of you. It's a blessing. Oh my gosh, it's the gift of grace, and there's nothing you can do to deserve it. But can you be responsible for it? It's a gift of grace, and it's beautiful. It's so amazing, but at the same time, it's delicate. You can't break Him. We're not going to ruin Christianity. We're not going to destroy something by doing it wrong. But at the same time, what we will do is hinder others from being able to hear about the love, the action perceived. How are you demonstrating Christ? Is your boldness just demeaning and disparaging to others, or does it lift them up in a way, put them in a manner where they look on in awe at your life and say, I don't believe in Christianity. I don't believe in your Jesus. But you're different, and I got to know what that is. That's the gospel. That's your witness. That's what's inside of anybody the very moment you say, Lord God, come into my life. I receive your presence here. Boldness to rise up from death. Even death can't stop you. Boldness. I started this series saying that this place, this house, this building, it's a great place to grow. That's terrible. This is a grow house, okay? This is a great place to grow spiritually while also inviting friends, neighbors, even your enemies to join with you. But at the beginning, I also said that I said, I can't coddle you. You've got to want it. And I pray again that you hear. I'm not jumping out here to step on toes. I'm behind you with an encouragement, with saying, come on, we got this. But it's not up to me. It can't be up to me. It's up to us. This is the body of Christ. This is the church. I can't reach but a handful, a roomful of people. This roomful can reach this town. This roomful can reach this county. This roomful can reach this state, this nation. But you've got to want it. What would happen if we demonstrated that kind of love? Those we live among, even those that aren't Christians, they'd still like